I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast. My guest this week is Roxane Doucet, founder of Triptych and managing director at creative agency Al Dente New York. With over 10 years of experience in creative consulting and art buying, Roxane has worked with top artists and luxury brands from Dior to Loewe and Balenciaga. In 2022, she even became visual director at Vogue Global, further cementing her role at the intersection of art and fashion. Known for her expertise in fine art and documentary photography, she champions emerging talent and impactful storytelling through global curatorial projects. If you've been curious about business opportunities in creative fields, you're really going to enjoy this conversation. This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you. Roxane, it's such a pleasure having you on The Brand is Female. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for the invite. I'm very honored.
I'm very excited to have this conversation with you. And as you know, I like to start these conversations by asking guests to go in time. And it says to go back in time. And this is something I've done for a few seasons now. But I love asking my guests this question because it kind of allows them to go back and think about, you know, is there really a connection between what they're doing today and what they thought they would be doing growing up. And often it's something that we don't think about anymore. So it's a fun exercise to go back and then actually remember what we were called to do. And sometimes there's surprises, sometimes there's not. So I want to ask you, growing up, what did you think you'd be doing later in life?
Honestly, it sounds crazy, but I feel that I always knew that I was going to work in the fashion industry, and I was going to move to New York at some point. So I'm from Montreal. I grew up in the suburbs, in a great family, but they were never into art, fashion, or I never had like role model in my family or around me. That like was having a business or working in the industry. So I was always like, I'm completely self-taught. So when I was younger, it's funny that you're asking that, but I was just like, I was watching like fashion TV with my dad. And I think for me, the element that really like made me pursue this career is like, I was watching shows in my basement, in my family home, and you know, like watching like the Dior by Galliano show, and like the music and the drama, and you know, the scenography and everything that like I felt so excited about, like how to create stories. And I feel like even when I was 15, when I saw this show, I was just like, this is amazing, and there's so much we can do with that.
And you mentioned, you know, it wasn't your parents who were role models, but within the fashion industry, was there something, and you mentioned fashion TV. So shout out to Jeannie Becker, who's actually been on the show, who I think was an influence for so many of us who, you know, grew up watching her and kind of got excited to discover the world of fashion. Like she brought it to Canada, which was really interesting because we didn't have that many connections that were Canadian at that time. So who would have been role models, and what kind of career did you think was possible back then, not knowing the industry or not knowing the, you know, the behind the scenes of the industry at that point?
Yeah, I think growing up, I was like this very like creative artist kid, right? And I tried like basically everything, and I was taking pictures, like photo of my friends, and I was like always like looking up to like of course like Anna Wintour, you know, like, and all the I was looking at all the Vogues, and you know, back in the day, the Elle and like the magazines. And even though like I just like, it was for me like a way to dream about like a bigger life and something that was like bigger than myself and where I am from. And after that, like I was 21 years old when I started my company, Triptych. So it's just like I felt it was just like the just my vision developing. And it's also like I got this intuition when I was young that like I should pursue this career. And Triptych really came to me almost like as also an intuition. And the name and the vision, and just to explain a little bit what was Triptych back then when I was 21 years old, I had no idea how to build a business. I had no idea what I was basically doing, but the vision was to bring people together, the community, the creative community of Montreal, the fashion, the designer, designer, the photographers, the stylists. I wanted to build a platform for them to shine and to put also Montreal on the fashion map. Or, I mean, we know like Montreal is not a big global city for fashion, but it's just like wanted to create these opportunity and to showcase the world what Montreal like, because there's so much talent in Montreal.
And when you launched Triptych at that point, had you studied in a related space? What kind of helped you prepare to do that?
Again, I studied like communication and production strategy at UQAM. But it was I for me like going to school was almost like a waste of time. Because I was like in my class and I was like working on Triptych and the project. So I felt like the real life experience was much more relevant to me. And I was just like, oh, I'm producing photo shoot, I'm producing events, I'm bringing all these people together. I guess I'm a creative producer. And I didn't know. I was like, it's like I'm 37, but so at 21 years old, I was just like looking at what everybody was doing in London and in Paris and in New York and like all these like big agencies and production company. And I found this term, creative producer. And it was the first time I was seeing it. And I was just like, it resonates with me so much. And so so it stick, you know?
So you launched Triptych, you launched your agency, you were still in Montreal at that point. How did it do? How did it take off?
It was, like it was hard to get the project with money. So I was doing a lot of pro bono and helping my friends. And for me, like this whole, the vision of the company was really based on collaboration. So I always thought, like I always put collaboration at the forefront of everything I was doing, even back then. So it was like helping friends, promoting friends' work, trying to work also with the up-and-coming designer in Montreal and to help them with their brand image and consulting on shows and just like creating a world and projects that I was proud of. And then I started to work with one of my best friends, Jessica Ligagné, that is an amazing director. And we started to work together and to do fashion film when Nowness and Show Studio was really cool and popular. And that was just like we wanted to be these like two young girl from Montreal doing fashion film for the biggest brand. And like our dream was to do like the Prada campaign. So, at that point, with so little like money and resources, we basically built everything ourselves. I was doing creative direction, she was directing, she was the cinematographer, I was doing the casting and then the styling. So basically, I feel we've done everything with so little that like it brought in me this sense of like everything is possible. And like also when you know all the roles and you were involved in all of them, you're now I feel I'm better skilled to talk
Yeah.
to clients and artists and collaborators.
And eventually, so today you live between New York City and Paris, and your career is between those two places as well. So what made you take that jump at some point? And you've talked about kind of the limitations you observed in the Montreal market. Budgets weren't that big, brands weren't necessarily wanting to work at the level that you were interested in working at, having seen what was possible in Europe and in the US. So what made you take that jump, and how did you manage to do that? Because I think a lot of people dream about taking their creative career to New York City or to Paris, but often don't know where to start.
Yeah, I feel for me it was a lot, it was also intuition. And I had, because I have been traveling even since I'm 21, I was traveling to New York, London, Paris to meet people that were really inspiring me. So, sometimes you're just like, you need to take risk and just to follow your guts. And so I booked a week of meetings in New York, and I was living in Montreal back then. And this week of meeting and the people I met that week really changed my life. And I felt so at home in New York and so at peace. And I feel that everything after that aligned. And I met a director, and he was just like, "I really want to work with you. When are you moving?" And I was just like, "I'll be in New York in 2 weeks." And it was end of December, and so I moved the first week of January.
Wow.
Yeah, so I really took the leap of faith, and I was just like, "This is it." I feel it's like I just needed someone to trust my taste and to say like, "Hey, let's work together." And so I basically packed a suitcase and I left, and I never came back.
And let's talk a little bit about, your time in the US, because you've worked for with significant brands, with significant organizations. You spent some time at Vogue, something that probably connected to that childhood dream. Tell me a little bit about how you got there and what it felt like, and did it feel at that moment, and maybe it was something else, but for me, Vogue is so symbolic of, what is possible in the fashion world. So did it feel like, okay, I finally made it. Like, this is the dream I've had for so long, and I'm here now.
I think it's like in almost 10 years in New York, I did a lot of different job. I worked with different agencies. I had many different opportunities, and I felt like, just to describe the journey, it's like when I moved to New York, I was a creative producer. So I was basically working with different production company, and I was in-house at Milk Makeup producing their campaign. And then I was helping also French agency that wanted to develop their branch in the US. So I'm French Canadian, and I feel like I have this like also like French speaking culture in me. And also, but I understand the US market very well. So it was kind of like an ideal for them. And so I did that for a while. And through a job, I became an agent, photo agent. And I really love this role in terms of like being able to accompany artists and to be able to curate portfolios and to think about business strategy and to develop their body of work and to think about like all the assets and outlets for them to shine. So I felt like it was a really good opportunity for me to explore that side of the business. So from creative director to creative producer to agent, I was just like, okay, I feel like I have the skills, to be able to help them and to collaborate well with them. So then I decided to reshape Triptych a little bit during COVID, and I wanted to represent artists that I really believed in. So I'm really into fine art and documentary photography. This is my passion. And during COVID, I met, and a little bit before, I met amazing people. And I was just like, one day I would like to represent you and work with you. And they trusted me. So I had a roster of 10 people from like fine art photographers to creative directors. And I was basically, the vision I always had for Triptych is to bridge art and commerce in a very meaningful way. So I was pushing fine art photographers that never really like had the opportunity to work in the like fashion industry or with luxury brands. But because I saw the potential in them, and I was just like, you guys are so great at what you do. Of course you can shoot for the New York Times, but you can also shoot for Dior, you know. So that was very like that was the vision, and so I did that for a while, and I was representing artists from all over, from Paris, Milan, London, New York, and then at some point I got the opportunity to be the visual director of Vogue US, commissioning.
I mean, let's highlight how big of and how rare of an opportunity that is, especially for someone who's basically an outsider. You didn't come from the New York fashion scene. You didn't come from, an editorial background. So, this must have felt like a really amazing chance.
Yeah, honestly, it's just like brought me to this like little kid, like 15 years old me. And I was just like, when I got the job, like I cried because I was just like, wow, you know, this like accomplishment of like because I just follow my guts, and like I'm here now, you know, from like the suburb of Montreal to being a visual director working alongside Anna Wintour. And so I took the opportunity while keeping my agency and working with all the artists I was representing. So it was a lot. I'm not gonna lie. It was a lot of pressure. It was of course because I wanted to be the best at both jobs, you know? And that really, I learned a lot, and it was a learning curve for me because at some point after a while I was burnt out, and I couldn't find joy or the energy in what I was doing, and it was the first time in my whole career that I wasn't excited about what I was doing.
Wow. The irony, right? You got like this position that is so coveted, so shiny, so aligned with what you thought you wanted, but unfortunately it feels like something that is not aligned once you're in it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then but it made me realize what I didn't want and what I wanted to pursue. So long story short, I took a break, and I decided to take a sabbatical after this. I told the artists that are still my friend today, I was just like, you know what, being an agent was great, but it doesn't make me happy. And they knew because I was so involved creatively in every single project, doing editing with them, mood boards, like really creating this vision. And I feel like I wasn't just an agent. I was really like a creative contributor to their work and career and vision for the future. And I was also by myself, which is like, you know, you run your business, you want to make sure that your artists or the artists you work with are happy and they can pay their bills and they can make good work. So, I mean, for me, the pressure was more like I want to give them what they deserve. And same with Vogue, like I felt like at Vogue US, I didn't have the creative freedom that I thought I would have. And it was more, let's say, conservative. So I decided to start working with Vogue India. And Megat Vogue India was amazing, and she gave me a lot of opportunities, and she really like trusted my vision, and it was like such a good collaboration. So we did amazing covers for Vogue India, and then I started also to work for Vogue Japan, and at that time Vogue was creating like more like global story, so that really like that was a way for me to create more content that were aligning with my vision, and like bringing also artists and photographers that were not really known to the Vogue world. So I mean, for me it's like this was kind of like my little challenge, but like I'm so proud that I could have like brought like maybe new and fresh idea to a magazine like Vogue.
Yeah, that is amazing. So, would you say when you face challenges like that, or kind of step backs, or a moment that feels like, okay, this is not going the way I want it, how do you deal with that? Because it can also be very difficult. And I know now you're able to talk about it in hindsight, but being able to come to that decision of, okay, I'm going to step away from this opportunity that seems amazing, or I'm going to have to make this very difficult decision about my career. How do you speak to yourself? How do you keep going? And what's kind of the thing that keeps you grounded and keeps you seeing what is possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it was hard because they offered me like a long-term job, let's say a role, and I had to say no, and people were just like, no, but
You're crazy.
yeah, like you're saying no to this opportunity, and they couldn't believe it. And there was something in me, and again, like coming back to intuition, that was telling me there's something bigger for me, and there's something better that will make me happy. And I worked with amazing people there, but it's just like, yeah, I felt like I did what I had to do, and it was time for me to move away. But again, when I decided to take a pause, and it was maybe the best decision of my life after moving to New York, it's just I felt really lost because I'm a project person. Like I've been since I'm 21, I'm running a company and projects every single day. I have a new projects or a new things that I'm working on or new people that I'm meeting, and for the first time I was just like, wow, I have nothing. And I felt a lot of guilt because people were just like,
Interesting.
you're crazy. I mean, you were a visual director at Vogue, and now you're taking a sabbatical, and
Yeah, what are you doing?
Triptych was successful with like these amazing artists, and you said no to that. And for me, it was just the time that I never stopped, and I needed to take care of my health and myself and my energy. So it was hard to, because also there's like the judgment of the people and your friends, or but once you pass that and you make peace with your decision, you feel much better. And I traveled and I did a lot of introspection and work on myself. And sometimes like it's a blessing to have the time to take the time to do that because it makes me
Yeah, good for you.
stronger now.
Are you ready to be inspired and connected? I'm really excited to share that we have officially launched the Brand is Female Conversation Series. Come and join us for a monthly conference that's changing the game in Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto. Engage with fellow women thought leaders, innovators, and visionaries. Get ready for insightful discussions and powerful networking opportunities presented by TD Women in Enterprise. Visit our website, go to the events section, and secure your spot today. I can't wait to meet you in person.
Would you say you ever dealt with imposter syndrome, feeling like you weren't deserving of an opportunity, or, you know, it was a mistake that somebody entrusted you with a role, or even in your business now? Does that ever come up for you?
Of course. But
I think it does for everybody, but I love digging into what it means for different people.
Yeah. I think it's like, I'm so grateful for all the people I met and all the projects and jobs and opportunity I got. For me, the imposter syndrome really was really activated when I took that pause. And I was just like, but what do I really want to do? And and in my head, I'm just like, I'm a curator. Because this is what I love the most, and this is one of my gifts. It's like, I know I love to curate portfolio. I love to make mood boards. I know how to translate a brand vision into visuals and find the right people to create the vision and the project. So it's like, it's talent curation. It's curation of photography. It's like research. It's like, it comes down to taste and what I love. And I was just like, but curator felt so, this word felt so heavy, because I'm just like, I look up to curators that went to the best art school and they worked in amazing galleries. And I didn't have these experience, but I had like 10 years of experience working on set with different type of people, on different scales of projects. Yeah. So I felt like it's my friends that they saw the potential in me, and they were just like, of course you're a creative director, you're a visual director, you're a curator. This is just another title. But you have this in you, and you've been having these gifts, and you need to be confident and show face and put yourself out there. So, and then I was just like, okay, I guess I'm a curator. So, so I relaunched Triptych, my agency, as a curation agency, more working towards everything that I always love, which is visual direction, curation, and art buying. So that was kind of like Triptych always. It's like an evolution of myself, you know, it's like my business, but like every time that I change, or every time that, like, I mean, it's another season of my life, right? It's just evolving with me, which is beautiful. And yeah.
Let's talk about women within the creative industry. And, you know, there's a difference, because what you do touches art, touches fashion, touches editorial, curation, brands. Do you feel that women have as many opportunities in these spaces as men?
I think, I mean, women in the photo industry are still underrepresented. I mean, there's amazing like women galleries, but still, like, I feel it's like we're talking about like men in the art industry. So I think it's changing, and it's really positive to see that. And I think it's also the bridge, like art and fashion are connecting more and more. Even if I like was talking about it when I was like 25 years old, I don't think like the industry was fully ready to take this like step and merge the two worlds. Now it's really something that like all the fashion brands, luxury brands, they're all doing like cultural initiative, or they're bringing art and culture to build their legacy, and it's something that I think for me it's so important. It's something that I also enjoy doing, and I'm lucky to now be the managing director and visual director of Aldente. Aldente is a creative agency based between Paris and New York, and they entrusted me to lead their business in New York and to develop everything that is from like cultural projects to campaign with luxury brands and talks. And so for me, I have like, it's like what I was doing with Triptych, now I can also do it with Aldente. And it's been a blessing also to be able to work between Paris and New York. And I have a home in Paris as well. So it's kind of like, for me, it's important to keep a foot in every
In each
culture
market, yeah.
and each
Yeah.
market, and yeah, be able to translate for brands and artists.
If you look back on your career and you could tell yourself, something at a younger age or write a letter to yourself, what's one thing you wish you knew? What's one piece of advice you would tell yourself knowing what you know now?
I think I would tell myself to never let people dim your light and to like protect your energy. And for me, working on myself, I worked a lot on my self-worth. So I think it's really important also for female entrepreneur and everyone to like know their self-worth and to has to get paid accordingly, for your experience and your connection, and don't give your ideas away too easily. That would be my advice.
I also want to talk about people who helped you along the way, because we talked, about role models a little bit, but I know you've had people play an important role. There's people who open doors for you. How did you approach establishing those relationships? And who are these people that, influence your career in a positive way along the many steps that you've taken?
I'm so lucky. I have an amazing support system. I have amazing friends that are thriving in the creative industry, and for me, it's really having like people that you can share accountability with, and people that you can create a safe space and be able to like talk about like really deep conversation, having deep conversation, light conversation, being able to brainstorm, being able to really be like your authentic self. And like, I'm so grateful for my friends and all the women around me now. It's just like when I see someone that is doing something that inspired me or share my sensibility, I will reach out and I will say, hey, I love what you do, and let's have a glass of wine or coffee. And these, it's like there's ways to do business organically, and this I really, really believe in that.
Were you always comfortable doing that, or is that something you learned along the way?
I think I was always like really keen to meet new people because I feel I get energy from meeting inspiring people. And for me, it's been so important in my development. I feel sometimes as a business owner, you can isolate yourself. You can just like work, 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 and like be just like having like a tunnel vision. But it's really important to share with other like business owner, other creative, other artists, and say like, hey, what do you think I should do? And I just bounce back idea, and it's like having this sounding board of like, hey, you did this, I'm thinking of doing that, let's share ideas and let's build something together. And this is why I launched this new holistic creative mentoring program called Feel Seen. And it's really related to my own journey. And I want to be able to help creative artists or entrepreneurs to create a safe space where like they can come to me and ask questions. It's like share ex past experiences, a space where I can do portfolio review, I can advise them on the next step for their art practice, or I can curate or edit a project with them. And it's really like having this like, yeah, this collaboration, but really like being just able to talk about hard subject as well, not just the fun stuff, because when you're a creative, you have a lot of self-doubt and sometimes you just need a second opinion. And I would love to, I just want to help.
And I think that's where I love the name Feel Seen, because that is something that so many of us entrepreneurs, and I think anybody in a creative space specifically, struggles with, right? And again, that connects to the idea, and I hate the term imposter syndrome. You and I have talked about that, but that challenge around feeling seen and feeling like, our work is worthy and our ideas are worthy is something that we're all struggling with, essentially.
Absolutely. And especially for me, it's really hard to be in front of a camera or put
I
myself out
know.
there.
I'm grateful you're doing this interview today.
It's just like outside of my comfort zone, but I'm just pushing myself to do that more and more because it's important and it's part of my healing. I need to do it. And I want to do it. But for me, feeling seen also was so hard because like I'm an artist, but it took me a long time to say it. And I love taking pictures and I put my work out there on my Instagram just for myself because I think this practice, taking pictures like more documentary style of like the beauty of everyday life or everything that I see around me, or it like gives me a sense of peace and also makes me, I can be in my head a lot. And when I just walk around listening to music and taking pictures, it's just like I am in my zone. And when I mean being feeling seen was also, I think a lot of people can validate you. A lot of people can criticize you. And I was lucky enough to have had this validation from also a curator, a friend, Erica in Montreal, that saw my photo work and my practice and was just like, hey, I'm doing this auction at the Museum of Contemporary Art of Montreal, which is my hometown. I would like to have one of your picture in the show. And I was just like, that just gave me so much joy because I never expected to have this validation and also to have my pictures on the wall of like the Contemporary Art Museum of Montreal. So it's kind of like this is why like feeling seen is also like having the guts to put yourself out there no matter what you're doing, because a lot of people are just like, oh, but like what are you doing? You were an agent, then a visual director, then now you're a curator, then you're a photographer. Yes, you can be all of that. And if it's true to yourself. And I think like this year, it's like also the moment of being unapologetic and being like just like this is who I am and show face. So this is why I want to help others, like other creative, to like go through what I've been through And I think a lot of people at this time are going through it.
Are needing this. So in the same vein, what would you say is a way, and most of our listeners are women, a lot of women in a creative space are entrepreneurs. What's one way we can kind of support and uplift each other? And so much has changed in the past few years. I think we have made some gains in terms of women having access to more opportunities, but that support is still needed. So for women specifically, what would be your advice?
I would say connect. For me, it's really you never know who you're gonna meet and what this person can bring you, and who this person's gonna go after this job or the other job, and also always be kind. And I think for me, leadership is kindness. And it's like treat people the way you want it to be treated. And I think like sometimes women they can feel like in competition with each other, but I think we just need to connect on such a deeper level. And I feel like it's just like finding your people, because you're not gonna connect with every woman.
Everybody.
Everybody. So find your people, and really, I think like women, they make shit happen,
I
and
love that.
they are trustworthy. And like I feel when we say something, we do it, and we don't have we're not afraid to share connection. We're not into gatekeeping. I think it's just like I think there's way to uplift each other in the most like healthy way. And this is why I wanted to start these initiative of like organizing dinner with amazing women in the industry, and like from different fields and different paths of life, and older, younger, like mixing different generation. But like curating again, it comes down to curating people that will fit together and will create business opportunity. So that's really a goal for me this year as well.
I love that. Well, we'll share all the information for people who are interested in connecting with you, learning more about Feel Seen, learning more about your work with Al Dente. Roxanne, it's been a pleasure speaking to you and hearing more about your journey. And the fun full circle moment is I ended up bidding on your photograph that was in the auction at the Museum of Contemporary Art. So that's a little bit how we met. And I love that story so much. And I love looking at the photograph so much.
Thank you so much for your support.
Well, and thank you for sharing all your insights today and finally being able to put yourself out there more, which I think is such a needed inspiration for many of us. So I'm very grateful.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you so much for listening to the Brightest Female Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of the Brightest Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrightestfemale.com to learn more.